back again.
Yep.
For a third episode.
Maybe we can figure it out this time.
Maybe.
I doubt it.
I doubt it too. Y'all just have to suffer along.
That's all right.
Yep. So, what are you drinking this week?
Well, first of all, we are Legends in Liquor.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And, this time I'm drinking a Bloody Mary, which is pretty fitting for what I've got in store.
Ooh.
Yeah. You want to try some?
Yeah, I'll try some. Bloody Mary. Hey, yo.
Bloody Mary.
It's pretty good. Anything special about it?
I forgot what kind it is. It was like Charleston Bloody Mary mix.
Yeah.
With a Dixie Black Pepper Vodka.
There you go. That is what it is.
And it's very good. I'm not normally a fan of Bloody Marys, but I found a mix that I like with the vodka that I like. So I should probably remember the name of it.
Yeah, probably. But, that black pepper vodka is really good.
It really helps.
Yeah.
Because I did try it with the Zing Zang the other night, and it just... not so good.
Nah. I still like Zing Zang, but I hear ya. You want to know what I'm drinking?
Yeah. Nope.
I hate you.
What do you got?
I'm drinking some of the Kettle One Botanicals Infused Grapefruit and Rosé with some ginger beer.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
That sounds like hipster as fuck.
I think it is.
You know?
It's a diet drink.
Let me take a...
take a sip.
A swig.
We already know you don't like it.
They don't know that.
Well, now they do.
I gotta have a live reaction for the fans.
All none of you.
Mm. And that just tastes like an air freshener.
He really doesn't like grapefruit. Surprise, surprise. I do. I really like grapefruit. Like, a salty dog's one of my favorite drinks. Mm. Might have to have one of those soon. But yeah, we're, well, at least I'm trying to do the, keto diet starting next week. And not really looking forward to that because I love potatoes and carbs. I'm really gonna miss them. But, you know, meat and cheese are all still good, so.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. I mean, and I know you're not really supposed to drink on it, so. You know.
We'll make an exception just for you guys.
Yeah, just for y'all. I'm gonna blame you guys for my drinking habit.
Yeah, don't do that.
Anywho. Anything else newsworthy?
Did you want to talk about that wine tasting we went to?
Oh, that was hella cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't really like a wine tasting, but they were having like a sampler session at our favorite alcohol store. And they had several wines. I mean, they're all different wines. They weren't even all like the same label.
What we had a Chardonnay, a Riesling,
a Sauvignon Blanc,
and
one red. I forget what kind it was.
Do we have a red?
Was it? I think it was a Cabernet. It's Cabernet Sauvignon.
Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah, and they paired each one of the wines with like a piece of food or a couple pieces of food, and they were like, "Here, try the wine up by itself, and then try it after having a nom of this."
It makes me feel dumb because you always go to a restaurant and you ask, at least I do, what wine would pair with this food. I don't know why it didn't occur to me that different foods would make the wine taste drastically different.
Right? I mean, you think of things like going well together, but you don't necessarily think of eating something and then it literally changing the fucking flavor of the wine. It was crazy.
It was like she did it was like a magic trick. She like switched the wine out.
Yeah, it was. It was insane. I think the one that got me the most was the Sauvignon Blanc, which I don't normally like that much because I think they're a little too citrusy.
That was the Bonterra that we had, right?
Yeah.
The Bonterra Sauvignon Blanc, which I really liked.
Right. And then she was like, here, have a sip of it. And I was like, yeah, I know what this tastes like. It's just okay. And then she's like, here, suck on this piece of lemon and then try it again. And I was like, all right. So I did it. And oh my God, the wine tasted so much better. The citrus out of the wine.
Which makes no sense because you're having citrus. You think you'd taste it more.
Right.
Right. At least I would think that.
I would think that too. But it didn't. It was crazy. It was really good. I was like, all right. That's awesome to know. So anyways, I'm tired.
That's all right.
We went kayaking yesterday, and it wore me out.
Both red as lobsters right now.
So much sunburn. It's uncomfortable. It's all good.
It's fine.
It's all good in the hood. For those of you who haven't figured it out yet, we live together and we date each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
It's on the quiz later.
Exactly. So, yeah, kayaking was fun. And anything else?
That's the big stuff I got. I mean, I don't know if we need to spoil Endgame, but that was a movie that happened, and we saw it.
My God.
Just keep the reactions to yourself. I don't know if it's too early.
I think it's too early, so I'm not going to say anything that happens in the film, but all the feels.
And we just got caught up to Game of Thrones, which, once again, I don't know if it's too soon to talk about.
Way too soon.
But now,
a lot of feels on that, too.
So we're all caught up on those, so if you want to send in your reactions, and we might respond.
Maybe.
We have a little discussion. Open-ended discussion on that.
Sure.
Talk to us.
Yeah.
We want to hear from you.
But seriously, Endgame. It was good. I mean, I feel like I can safely say at least that. It was good. I enjoyed it. And I cried like a bitch multiple times. I don't know if you noticed that. Like, did you see me over in my chair, sniffling a little bit? I was like,
I tried
really hard to.
But we went to a movie theater with reclining seats, and this was new to me, heated seats.
Heated seats.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't either.
And we also had a couple brewskis.
Yep.
And got the commemorative
Endgame.
Popcorn holder,
yep.
Why would we say holder together? Because that's not the right word.
I don't know.
But
we
both said it.
But whatever.
That's fine.
We spent too much time together.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's fine.
At least we don't have a podcast together.
Oh no.
Damn.
Yeah. But no, it was really good. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, we could talk about other stuff, but.
Well, let's get into the stories. There's always next week.
Alrighty. This is probably going to be a short episode, y'all, just in case you couldn't tell.
You're like, thank God.
Right? Especially after your last, 2-hour-long episodes.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Let's see if we can get this one under an hour. That would be amazing.
I don't know about under.
Okay, well, we'll see.
We'll try.
So, anywho, let's see.
So, what are you telling us
today? Yeah, what do I have for you today? So I've got an old Irish myth. Have you ever heard of the Pooka? Don't look at my notes. I have to keep this turned to you.
I'm not looking at the notes. Is that where they get the Pooka shell necklaces?
I have no idea. I thought about that while I was doing the research, but, there was one minor thing that I saw that made me think possibly, but I think the Pooka shells are from Africa. Is that? No, you don't know. Okay, I don't really remember.
Gift shops. That's all I got.
No, but I saw one thing that was Irish children used to, call snails Pookas and tell them to stick their horns out. It didn't make any sense, so I didn't even put it in my notes. But then when you said that, it made me think of it. And I thought about it, the connection to, potentially.
That's all I got. I don't even know if that's how you spell Pooka.
I mean, Pooka shell. Pooka shells aren't snail shells. I don't think they are, anyways.
Eight now. Go away, please.
Okay, so our small dog, Danny, just came up and is, sitting on Doug.
Yeah, and he's stepping on my balls, and he's not that tiny. He's, at least 50 pounds.
I think he's, 60, but, yeah. He's Danny, go lay down.
He's smaller than the other dog we have, who was also doing that earlier today.
Go lay down. Okay, so anyways.
It's okay, we love you. We love you.
So, yeah, no relation to Pooka shells as far as I can tell. So the Pooka, and I'm not even going to bother to spell it for you, is basically phonetically spelled. And
P-U-C-A, I did it.
Well, that's one spelling. There are 20 spellings out there, and they're all different.
Can they all be phonetically correct?
Yeah.
How? P-O-O-K-A?
Yeah.
P-U-K-A?
Yeah.
Just go on.
Yeah, exactly. Now he's chewing on my hand. I love you, baby. We'll post a picture of our baby. Baby Danny. And Queenie, whose real name is Bronx. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't care.
Yeah.
We just call him Queenie because he acts like a fucking queen.
He does. He will do that.
Danny, I'm sure that you wiggling around on the bed is going to be, like, all over our sound recording. Which brings me back to side note. Please donate. Donations are available through Anchor.
Yeah.
The website, or the app and website that we produce and publish through. So you can donate, and I guarantee you the first thing we will use your donations for will be mics.
Yes, we really need those.
We really need mics. Sorry about episode 2. I don't know what that interference was. Doug hasn't even heard it yet because I just edited it. But there was some kind of weird noise in the background. I have no idea what it was because clearly we didn't hear it while we were recording.
Oh, maybe it's like
ESP.
That's not ESP. EMP. Right?
I don't know.
The ghost thing when you play it back and you hear something.
No, that's not an EMP. An EMP is an electromagnetic pulse.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. It's not an ESP.
It's not an ESP, yeah. I know what you're talking about, but yeah, I can't remember the thing. Yeah. No, I don't know. It almost kind of sounded like when our dishwasher goes really loud.
Yeah.
But...
Well, long story short on that, we did switch rooms.
We did switch rooms.
So hopefully that'll change, but then Danny just decided to do the wiggle.
Yeah, but now he's calmed down. He's laying down. So, won't be through the entire episode, at least. He just give me the side eye like... I know you're not blaming your crappy recording on me.
Now he's pleasuring himself.
Ugh. Anyways, dogs. Gotta love them. So, the puka, right.
What is it? I don't know.
Right, so it's basically like a shape-shifting spirit from Irish folklore. They're most commonly seen as horses, as like dark colored like black horses with glowing yellow eyes, and sometimes they'll be like dragon chains around. I saw a couple of mentions of that. I don't know.
I thought you were saying like a dragon chain instead of dragging chain. No. I was confused.
No, like they just have chains hanging off them, but I didn't see any reference to where the chains might have come from or anything, so I have no idea. And then I saw some references. There is so much. I'm just gonna throw this out there just at the beginning, so that y'all won't, like, yell at me for not knowing what I'm talking about. Although I don't know what I'm talking about. There's a ton of, like, conflicting information out there. So, some people say the pukas are black. Some say they can be white. Some say they have dark glowing eyes. Some say they wear jeans. Some say they take the shape of a horse, a goat, a cat, a dog, a bunny rabbit, a human with animal features. So you kind of get the picture, like...
But they're shapeshifters, right?
They're shapeshifters.
So they can probably do all of that.
They're all over the place. And then some say they bring good fortune, some say they bring bad fortune. Some say they're, like, bloodthirsty, man-eating beasts. Others say they're super helpful and do your chores for you. So it's really, like, the spectrum of what the fuck is going on with the puka is broad.
I need to get a puka.
I know, right? I was like, I'm gonna have a puka to... do all my housework for me.
I know, I'll gamble on that.
Yeah, right? Hope it doesn't eat you.
It's a 50-50 shot.
It might eat you or it might clean your house. We'll roll those dice.
God, that would be great.
That would be great. I would literally strip our entire house of anything iron if we could get a brownie or like a puka or something. Some fairy tale creature to come and clean our house for us.
Oh, so iron is a thing.
Yeah, iron's always a thing.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if it was, like, specifically for the puka.
Well, it is for the puka as well. I think especially basically the British Isles, the whole iron being averse to spirits and fairies is really common.
Okay.
So anyways. But, yeah, so where does the name puka come from, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked me that. I'll try and tell you. I know you didn't ask me. You're like, I don't care. One source said it might be from the Old Norse word puk or puki, which means a nature spirit. Another source said it was the Irish word pock, meaning a male goat, which some people say the puka takes the shape of a goat, so there you go.
Okay.
Yeah, and then one source I read said that the puka might be like the father, not like actually the father, but like the inspiration for Shakespeare's Puck, like the character Puck.
Ooh, what was he in?
I want to say A Midsummer Night's.
Oh, I never read that one. Dream. So that makes sense.
I never read that one either, but I saw the movie.
Was it good?
It was okay.
Who was in it?
I don't remember.
Oh, that actor in that one movie?
Yeah, that guy. Okay. Yeah, you know. And that okay. And that girl. You know that girl, too?
I don't know her.
Oh, dang. Anyways. So, let's see. The behavior of the Pooka, they definitely, like, kind of across the board have a proclivity for mischief, so a little mischievous hanging around out there. They'll often entice humans to ride on their backs and then give them a wild, terrifying journey before dropping them back off.
Oh, so it's like a Lionel in Breath of the Wild.
Well, don't they just try and kill you right off the bat?
Well, yeah, no, but you can ride them.
You can ride them.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
The game lures you to ride them because there's the option to ride them.
Yeah, or just like the really hard to ride horses in Game of the Wild. Or like the deer.
Game of the Wild.
No, oh gosh.
Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Clearly I am tired. Actually, I'm going to play that tonight. Let's play that. We'll play that in forever. Totally sidetracked. Anywho. Like I said, drop them back off, but I think frequently the Pooka's just like, get the fuck off my back, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Lionel.
Yeah, exactly. But some Irish tales say that you can control the Pooka by wearing sharp spurs. Which ties back into the whole iron thing, because the spurs are made of iron.
I was just thinking like a horse.
I know, right? Like when I first read it, that source didn't say anything about the spurs being iron, but I was like, hmm. And then another source was like, because the spurs are iron, dumbass.
I think this story is just like somebody saw a horse and did a whole bunch of drugs. And was like, oh, and that horse has some glowing eyes, and I fell off him.
Yeah. I feel like...
That's what that sounds like.
Probably somebody who just doesn't like horses a whole lot came up with the Pooka. And was like, that horse is a fucking asshole.
I mean, horses are okay. They're not my favorite.
Yeah, I've never really had that much experience
with them. I've never rode one.
I have.
Ridden. I've never been on top of a horse.
I have.
Was it fun?
It was fun, okay. Actually. Like, I suggested. Horses are rich people pets. They cost a ton of money.
I don't want one.
No, I don't want one either. But we could go ride them sometime. That would be fun.
Okay. Donate to our...
Not our Patreon. We don't have a Patreon yet, but donate through our Anchor page. There's totally an option to do that. You can do a one-time donation or you can do it monthly. And once we have, like, $40, we'll buy a couple mics. Promise.
And then we'll go horseback riding.
Pinky promise. The next thing we'll do is go horseback riding.
Let's not pinky promise on that. We'll probably get something else.
Yeah. We'll probably get something else podcast related. Yeah. So anyways, another source says that, you know, instead of people actually just in general riding the Pookas, there was only ever one man who rode a Pooka, and that was Brian Boru, the High King of Ireland. And he was only able to do it because he used a special bridle which incorporated three hairs of a Pooka's tail. So, fun fact. Let's see. And it's also got some agricultural associations. So, the Pooka is associated with November for some reason. Particularly associated with Samhain, which, like, if you're not... it's spelled Samhain, and a lot of people pronounce it Samhain. It's not how it's pronounced. It's pronounced Samhain.
Why?
I don't know, because it's Celtic. Gaelic shit is not pronounced the way it's spelled. None of it is. So I was pulling out my little Irish mythology book, and like half the words in it were like, and I was like, I have no idea how you say that.
Okay.
So, yeah. But anyways, Samhain...
Samhain.
Right, which correlates with, it's basically Halloween. It's like the pagan version of Halloween. Is a Celtic harvest festival when the last crops of the year are brought in. And, the farmers would consider anything remaining in the fields after Samhain was considered Pooka or fairy blasted, and hence an edible. By which they mean, like, they would say that the Pooka would come and either defecate or spit on the crops or wild fruits after Samhain, so you couldn't eat them because they would be, like, no good anymore. Blech.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of weird. But there were, like, several things. I saw that in several places. Like, don't eat blackberries after salmon because the puka spit on them. Spit slash shit on them. Who knows which. I think depending on which book I was reading and how kid-friendly they were trying to be, it depended. But,
seems like an unnecessary way to say your food's expired.
Right? It's like, or it just went bad. Yeah. Because, you know, food does that.
Yeah.
But that's the, you know, the thing.
Okay.
And then in some places, the farmers would leave a little bit of the crop in the field on purpose as the puka share to, like, placate the puka. I guess so that it wouldn't come and, like, mess with them. Or maybe they'd get lucky and it would come and clean their house. Who knows? November 1st is known as the puka's day. Hmm. And it's the one day of the year it can be expected to behave civilly. Other places say, and okay, so apparently it's kind of regional from what I was reading. It's kind of regional on whether or not, like, people think the puka is this, like, terrifying man-eating beast, or if they think it's, like, this benevolent spirit that'll help you out. So, in some regions, they say that on November 1st, which I'm guessing this is November 1st, it was just referenced as November Day, and I'm like, bro, there are at least, like, 30 days in November. Which one are you talking
31.
About?
31.
No, December has 31 days in it.
Yeah, so does November. 30 days it alternates. Past September, April, June, and
yeah, so 30 days in November, pretty sure. They were talking about November 1st, and they were saying that the puka would appear in the mountains or hills, and if you brought it, like, gifts and offerings and shit, it would provide prophecies and warnings of, like, what was to come over the next year. So, that is most of what I've got for you about the puka.
Okay.
One other reference said that it would punish grave robbing and ingratitude. Hmm. It was known to help beasts who would founder in bogs.
What does that mean? Founder in bogs?
Like, you know what a bog is?
No.
Like a marsh, swamp.
Oh, okay.
A bog.
Like
I don't think we technically have any bogs in America.
I was thinking like chicken bog. Like the
Yeah, the I dish. Know what you're talking about. I mean, I think it's named after like a bog.
That makes sense, but beasts who help...
Wait. Founder in bogs. So like a foundering beast is something like you get stuck in it.
Oh, okay.
So they get like stuck in the bog and like wouldn't be able to like stand up or get out of the mud or whatever.
Okay.
Like getting stuck in pluff mud.
Okay, I gotcha.
If I haven't dropped enough hints as to where we're fucking from, yeah.
I guess.
I don't know. But anyways.
You'll figure it out.
Someday. I don't care that much anymore. got a few popular fiction references. Most of these I didn't even get, but I figured a couple of them you'd be... Don't quit looking at the notes.
I just saw one of them. I'm excited. okay, good.
I figured you'd be interested in the one that you saw and got excited about.
Well, there's actually a couple that I'm excited about.
Okay, so one of them was the TV series Into the Dark, which I actually think is on Hulu.
We should watch it.
We should.
I've never seen it.
So there's an episode. I've never heard of it. There's an episode called Puka.
Puka, Puka.
I have no idea really what it's about. Like, all the description on Wikipedia said was a terrifying psychological journey, blah, blah, blah. And the, like, Puka monster in it looks nothing like the typical description of a puka, but I was like, eh, whatever. I mean, I saw a lot of photographs actually online, like if you just Google puka, mm-hmm. Like, a lot of them are weird, like rabbit heads with glowing eyes and like a funky body. Like a lot of times they'll actually be described more as like a goblin creature than like a more like animal shaped creature. My first encounter with a puka in popular fiction was actually this really god-awful romance series, like paranormal fiction, you know, published on Kindle Direct, I'm sure. And one of the characters in the book was a puka.
What was it called?
I really don't want to name it because I just said it was horrible.
Oh, okay.
But I guess I could. I don't know. It was some, like, the Sorceress and the Gargoyle.
Fair. That's fair.
It was bad.
Okay.
It was bad. I'm still reading it, you know.
Oh, like, currently? I thought you meant, like, years ago you found
it. No. Like, I literally just read this as one of those, like, you know, just romance, magic, paranormal fiction books. And it's a whole series. The woman wrote, like, I don't know, shit, like, 7 of them. And I've read 2.
Okay.
Maybe 3. I don't know. So that's kind of actually what inspired me to do this. But anyways, so there's that TV series, and then the next one is the manga Berserk.
Yep.
Yeah, which is like your favorite manga, right?
It's not my favorite manga. Oh, my favorite manga is JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Oh, right, duh.
But I have read all of Berserk. Okay, so, but you're saying that the elf Puck is based off of a Puka?
That's what Wikipedia said.
Well, he's not a shapeshifter. But he is very mischievous.
I mean, he looks like a fairy. I think Puck from Shakespeare's whateverness is like a fairy. If Puck is based off of a Puka, then I could see that this Puck would be... I don't know.
I think this Puck is based off of that Puck.
Yeah.
And that Puck may have been more based on the Puka. Because I will say that he does quote-unquote shapeshift, because he goes from like being super anatomically correct little boy who's always naked. It's weird.
That whole show was weird. They say show because I did read some of the manga, but yeah, I watched the anime movie.
Yeah.
Which was just...
There's three of them. You need to watch the third one. That's the good one.
That show is just rapey as hell.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not even going to say, like, I necessarily automatically dislike rapey stuff.
No, it's good.
Because let's be real, like, a lot of anime and manga is rapey as hell.
I think a lot of the ones that you watch.
Maybe that's just a me thing.
I think it is just a you thing. I could probably name, like, 20 that don't even come close to that.
I mean, probably.
And then you'll be like, oh, well, I've seen these five. And like, yep, that's why.
I know, right? I haven't watched nearly as many as you, but it seems like pretty much every single one that I've watched is just like epically rapey. Like Ren. And I love Ren.
That's very rapey.
Super rapey. Elfen Lied.
That was good.
That was
good. I was surprised. I had to see it twice to like it, but I liked
it. But it was also very rapey.
Yeah.
There's a lot of rape.
Yeah.
I don't know. Berserk.
It's pretty rapey.
Pretty rapey.
Yeah.
Significant amount of rape in it.
Yeah, there's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot more in the manga than the movies, too.
Well, I guess the movies had to tone it down.
No, the movies didn't really tone it down. They just only highlighted the parts that they could talk about. Like, everything that was in the movie happened in the book.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm saying, like, they left stuff out. Like, they toned it down some.
Well, no, they focused on a different arc. That arc that happened, the Golden Age arc,
yeah,
that was not super rapey. It was just super rapey, like, at the last little bit of it. So, okay. Yeah.
Either way.
Well, no, I'm saying, like, it was true to the manga. You get what I'm saying. They just picked that one part. But, yeah.
You get what I'm saying.
All right, that's enough about Berserk.
Yeah.
It's good. I need to get caught up.
Okay, so then the next reference, The Witcher 3, which I don't think either of us has played.
No, I played a lot of the first one.
Yeah, I played some of the first one, some of the second one. Not a ton of either, honestly.
I played a good bit of them. I like the first one.
They're good games. And I've heard that the third one's, like, really good.
Yeah, I got a friend who has not played any of The Witchers.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, 100%ed 3 when he got it. Because he was like, this is just, damn, like, a really good game.
Well, I think they went a lot more sandboxy with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely 2 was way more than 1.
Yeah.
I liked what 1 was trying to do.
But anyways,
yeah.
The reference in The Witcher 3 is, it's spelled Phoocas. So I would, assume that it would be pronounced Phoocas, but which are described as stronger versions of the endgame monsters Nekkers, which I've also not heard of. So I don't know. I'm not a Witcher person.
You're not a Witcher?
No. I wish I had some freaky supernatural powers and was badass with a sword, but nope, unfortunately, I'm not.
Okay.
Damn it. Anywho, so Sword Art Online.
Yeah.
We both watched that.
It's okay.
And apparently the Puka is one of the 9 races of Alfheim, which I did not remember. So is that right, or is that just, like, did we just miss that?
I think this was after we stopped watching, because you do know that the show went on,
yeah,
and the manga went on. Well, we only saw the first, like, either first 2 seasons or the first season, and like the first half of it was one part and the second half was a different part.
No, I think that we watched the first season because that was in the one game, and then the second season started in the second game, which was Alfheim. Was, like, the world, the overworld. Right.
But I have seen some of Gun Gale Online, which is, like, the third season, mm-hmm, or the third part. And they still go back to Alfheim. So they may have explained the Alfheim races.
At a later date.
In Sword or Gun Gale Online.
Okay.
But that being said, it's been years since I've seen it. Like, I saw it when it came out. So yeah. I don't remember. They may have explained it in... Like,
same. Or, that was what I was asking you, because you generally remember that stuff better than I do.
I just wasn't a huge fan of Sword Art Online.
I know. Well, you were a big fan of the first one, and then you were like, I got stupid.
When it became... That was a rapey one. When it became rapey with the elves, it didn't make any sense. It didn't make a ton of sense when it was just the fantasy sword game where the dude got locked in the VR. Like, it wasn't great to start out with. I just really liked it. And then it got just progressively more stupid.
Yeah. Okay, I got gotcha.
So, I mean, that's why... Like, I started out really liking it. Then after that, it was like... Me.
And then the next reference is a novel, which I've never heard of, From the Little, the Much is Known, which I like the title of it. It sounds cool. Apparently, it's a fantasy book set in modern-day British Columbia, and there's a puka in it.
Okay.
And that's all I got for you on that. I've got in my little leather-bound Irish folklore book, which is just cool as shit. I'm not even gonna lie. What? They said this is Yeats? They did not say... Okay, whatever. Anyways. Apparently...
Somebody's lying.
Apparently William Butler Yeats is... Am I saying his name right? Or is it Yeats?
Probably Yeats.
Spelled Yeats. Probably pronounced Yeats. Yeats. Freaking everything from Ireland is pronounced weird.
It's probably pronounced Yokes.
And I know one Irish person. You remember?
Oh.
Yeah. And she's fucking hilarious. And I think she hates me now. It's all good.
That's fine. That's how anyways, Irish people are.
They just hate you all of a sudden.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that about all Irish people. I don't know that. But this one I think does hate me.
I'm saying that about all Irish
people. For no reason that I can tell. But, you know, other than I got a new job. Basically, the guy's walking along. He's like this piper that's not very good. He only knows literally one song. And he's walking home from playing at, I guess, the local pub. And a puka comes upon him and is like, get on my back. I'm taking you to go play your freaking pipes for some banshees. No joke. And the piper's like, okay. And he gets like, he's like, all right, you're on my back. Play the song. And the piper's like, I don't know it. I only know one song. And the puka's like, just fucking try. You'll be surprised. And so he does. And he plays the song. Because, you know, the puka's magic.
Oh, I think I've heard this. I think this is the inspiration for Billy Joel's Piano Man.
I'm sure it is.
I think it is.
Anyways, the guy rides on the puka's back, and the puka arrives at some hill and stomps three times, and a door opens, and they go in, and there are a bunch of old women, and I guess they're banshees, because he was like, I'm taking you to the banshee's house for a party. And they're like, who's this? And he's like, he's a piper. Play them some freaking music. And the piper's like, okie dokie. So he plays for them, and a gander is a male goose, right?
No, I thought the gander was like a group of geese. Like, what's good for the goose is good for the gander?
No, that's like a goose is like a female. What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
No, I'm looking this up.
Yeah, that's a male female.
I don't think so.
Anyways, so he's like, there's this bird that he stole from the priest in the town. And ate with his mom. Yeah, and he's like, I totally ate that bird. What's that bird doing here? And the bird's like, derp, 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 here are some new pipes for you. And the piper's like, okay, I'll take them. And then all of the puka's like, hey, banshees, pay them, the dude. And so they all give him a gold coin. And the piper's like, oh my God, I'm rich. And the puka's like, okay, I'm going to take you home now. And he takes him home and he like throws him off his back once he gets there. And he's like, you now have two things you didn't have before. A sense of music and some common sense. And,
He stole his money?
No, the piper's just like, I still got all this money. And he goes and he's like, Mom, look at all this money I made. And she's like, you're drunk. And he's like, no, I can play the pipes really well now. And so he tries to play them the new pipes that the bird that they fucking stole from a priest and ate together gave him. And when he blows on the new pipes, they only make the sound of, like, squawking geese. And his mom's like, that's fucking awful. That sounds like you. And he's like, no, wait, let me play on my old pipes. And he plays on the old pipes, and then, like, he can miraculously play the pipes, like, really well now.
Oh.
So his mom's like, okay, and yay, look at all this money. And then the next day, the money all turns to leaves.
I thought it was going to be something like, it's like, play money, and he was drunk, so he didn't notice it.
No.
But I gotcha.
Yeah, the money all turns to leaves, and then he goes and tries to tell the priest, and the priest is like, you're a fucking liar, and you stole my bird. And ate it, and then like basically the story ends with, but he was still the best piper in that area.
It's a dumb story.
It really was, but there you go. That's the story that I got for you.
All right. Hi.
Hey.
And we're back.
We're back.
Took a brief hiatus.
Yeah, we started recording the other night. For Doug's part, and it turns out I had totally already heard that story really super recently. Kind of sucked the fun out of it. So
I did a different one now.
Yes.
And I got it cleared, but I actually don't know how much you know about this person. So I'm doing the story of John Dillinger.
Yay! I've never heard of him.
Now, do we want to review the new alcohol first before I get into it?
Yeah. Let's review the new alcohol first.
So what's it called again?
I don't know. Where's the bottle?
Oh, shit.
I thought you brought it out of here.
To refill? All right, hold on.
Hold on.
In the eyes of the media, this guy was sort of like Robin Hood. Like, he would rob from the rich people at the banks.
Mm-hmm.
Especially in the movie. Like, I don't know if this is like, there is strict documentation, but it has been noted that he would rob a bank and there would be, you know, patrons of the bank trying to withdraw money, and they would like throw out their wallets. He would say, keep your money, I'm here for the banks, not yours. So, you know, not so much stealing from the rich, giving to the poor, but kind of, you see what I mean?
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, I don't know if banks were FDIC insured back then or not.
Probably not,
in which case he was just stealing their money,
right?
Of course, if the banks were insured, then he's not, he's just stealing the government's money.
Well, that's how it was portrayed by the media. Like, he would
tell people. Robin Hood-esque
and stealing from the banks, not the people.
But I wonder how much of that is just, like, the Great Depression, the perception.
Well, this is the height of the Great Depression was when he did his.
Right. But it's like when we watch The Highwaymen and Bonnie and Clyde, and everybody's like, oh, yeah, they're just dicking over the man. And it's like, but they're not really.
That's a good comparison. That's how the media portrayed them.
But I think, like, just the time period being the Great Depression, like, everybody's, like, living out of cars and in shanty towns and has zero monies and can't find work. And they're like, oh, anybody who looks like they're sticking it to the establishment, we're just going to, like, you know, think that they're the best thing ever because we fucking hate the establishment right now.
I will say that's exactly what the media portrayed him as, and he thrived off of it. I don't have a ton of notes on this, but I do remember in the research that he didn't hide much. He would court openly, he would go out public outings, he would make himself known as he was doing these crimes.
See, that just blows my mind because it's like, how crappy were the police back then?
Very crappy, but, my next point before we get into the actual timeline is this case in particular, bringing down John Dillinger, was brought about the FBI. Because before, they were just the Bureau of Investigation, and J. Edgar Hoover, who was in charge of all that, used this to evolve them from the Bureau of Investigation to the Federal Bureau of Investigation. It sounds like semantics, but it makes it more of a big deal.
It does sound like, you know, semantics.
Pretty much. But apparently it's a big deal, because it's written a lot of places.
J. Edgar Hoover, I have heard, was a shady motherfucker.
I could see it.
Yeah.
I don't have a ton of notes on him. That's about all I have. But he was like, we need to crack down on getting this motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, I feel like if it fit more into our podcast, it would almost be fun just to do, like, a J. Edgar Hoover episode. Because I don't know why, but
we could do a bonus one, you know.
That could be fun at some point.
I would, yeah, we should do our own research.
Because he ties into, like, all of these bad guys.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, J. Edgar Hoover. And everybody's always making the joke, like, J. Edgar Hoover's gonna find ya. Blah, blah, blah. Like, I wonder if there isn't some ghost story associated with J. Edgar Hoover. We will look into that.
Yeah, let me look into that. If it's a ghost, I'll do it.
For sure.
Definitely, if there's a ghost, I'll do it.
All right, awesome.
All right, so moving on. Yep. So let's just go into the time. This was like the overview.
Okay.
Like 24 banks, 4 police stations, 1 murder, a whole bunch of Grand Theft Auto.
Fun stuff.
Cool. So he was the younger of 2 boys. His parents were John, so he's a John Jr.
Oh.
And Mary Ellen, who went by Molly. I don't know why, but yeah. And apparently, there's a ton of documentation on why he's German.
Wait.
Like, his...
John Dillinger's German? Like, was born in Germany and came here?
Okay. Or... So, backtrack a little bit.
Yeah, right,
so
you lost me.
John's dad,
okay,
who had a super German name, was a German immigrant. But there's like a whole family tree by that. And I didn't care to write all that down.
I mean, who cares?
German ancestry.
Okay, awesome. Boom.
Me
too.
Me too.
You need to do one of those DNA tests.
I want to.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought it was worth noting that there was a ton of documentation about his German ancestry.
Watch you do one of those DNA tests and it show up that we're like related and it'll just like freak us out and we'll have to break up.
I really doubt
that's the case.
Okay, moving on.
Okay.
Because I'm uncomfortable. So, John Dillinger Sr., which it gets confusing because his dad plays a big part in his early stuff. So, Sr.,
mm-hmm.
He was very much the spare the rod, spoil the child mentality.
Okay.
Which can be good or bad.
Damn hippies. You know, I literally just read an article put out by CNN that was like an opinion article about how the, I don't know, American Society of Pediatrics or whatever, mm-hmm. the pediatrician group has literally just put out a statement saying people should stop freaking hitting their kids. Like spanking. Like stop spanking.
Right.
Like it's not proven scientifically to actually work and it is actually shown to like have a negative impact on your children.
It did that with this guy. I will say that.
No, but he didn't spank him.
No, spare the rod, spoil the child.
Yeah, that's not spanking.
No, that's spanking.
No, spare the rod. Like, the rod is what you hit them
with. No, spare the rod, spoil the child. If you spare the rod, you are spoiling the child.
Oh.
So, yeah, he beat the fuck out of his kid.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, no, that's what that phrase
which
means.
Which kind of makes sense because, like, mirror neurons and whatnot, mm-hmm. like, you mimic what you see.
Right.
I mean, it's like the Bobo the Clown experiment. Have you heard of that?
No, what's Bobo the Clown?
You know those like...
No, Bogo the Clown.
No, you know...
That's a future episode.
You know those clown dolls that are inflated and, like, you punch it and it, like...
Kind of looks like a bowling pin?
Yeah, it looks like a bowling pin and it, like, falls back to the ground and then pops back up.
Yeah, it's got the water or sand in the bottom.
Yeah. There's a famous psychological experiment with children where they show them a video of somebody just, like, beating the shit out of this Bobo the Clown doll thing, mm-hmm. and then, like, the kids watch it, and they observe the kids after they watch it, and they have multiple toys in the room, and the kids who see the, like, clown getting beaten up go and beat up the clown, versus, like, the other kids who don't, who just, like, play peacefully with their dolls or whatever. So, mirror neurons, that was one of, like, the first science experiments to establish that, anyways.
That's weird. I've never heard anything about that study at all, but I know exactly what clown you're talking about.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it had a name.
That's what it is, Bobo the Clown. I'll never forget that. Psych 101, Bears Its Ugly Head. Clueless reference. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just like, reference.
We got 5 more in us.
I'm sorry. But, yeah, no, so...
Insert JoJo reference.
You know, but I literally just had this conversation the other day with, like, an attorney friend who was like, I'm trying to convince my husband that, like, beating your children is not a good thing. And I always joke that it's like... Literally, children are the only people you can legally beat, at least in our state, I'm pretty sure.
I don't know.
I mean, short of, like, jumping into a boxing ring or whatnot, but...
Or, like, leaving visible marks on them.
Yeah, no, corporal punishment is not illegal, so it's like...
It's frowned upon.
It's frowned upon, clearly, because DSS will jump all over your
ass. I was about to say, let's not shit talk our state. It is frowned upon. We are not promoting this.
No, but also at the same time, I'm like, I am of the opinion that, and we had this conversation, and it was like, I was like, you know, I'm not going to say, like, I'm a never spank kind of person, because there are certain situations in which I would rather my child just be more afraid of me than whatever it is they're about to do, like run out into the fucking street and die.
Like our dogs?
Yeah. Like, I'm like, I think there are certain situations where they just need to know, like, if you do that, I will hurt you, so that they don't do it. And those are the only situations which I was ever spanked under. And that was, like, maybe 3 times in my entire life. But she was like, you know, your parents are obviously highly educated and intelligent people, so are you, but your average person isn't going to be able to show that kind of restraint, so they should probably just have a zero spanking policy for, like, the normal person, because they're not going to be able to control themselves to, like, limit it to only those situations.
I could see it.
I could see her point. I was just like, I don't know. I don't want to say, like, I don't think we should just outlaw it, because I really do feel like there are certain situations which it's just like, no.
But of course, we're not saying that.
But don't beat your children.
Podcast. We're not. Don't beat your kids. Kids are our future.
Yeah.
Kids are the future.
Don't beat your children.
Yeah, don't do that.
On a regular basis. What was that Cat Williams skit where he was like, can I just say publicly that people should stop beating their children publicly?
Was that Cat Williams?
Yeah, I think that was Cat Williams.
Okay.
I thought that was hilarious.
That's pretty good.
It's like, your baby's a baby. Of course they're going to want Skittles.
Okay, so.
Sorry. Total sidetrack.
Dillinger Sr.
Yes.
Was like, I'm going to beat the fuck out of my kids.
Beat his child on a regular basis. Got it.
So, his marriage to Molly, Mary Ellen. I don't know how you got Molly from Mary Ellen, but whatever.
Whatever.
I don't like it. I don't like these fucking made-up nicknames, and we're going to get to that later, because we'll talk about his gang, and it's just...
It's nicknames just, galore.
It's just fine to have 3 names. In the 1930s. Anyway, I don't know. That's one of the few things that makes me unnecessarily mad, but I don't care, and I will not apologize for it. Anyway, so thank God he divorced this woman. I'm just kidding. And I don't know how she was. It gets a
Wait,
little...
his dad divorced the woman?
Yeah. His dad divorces Mary Ellen.
His mom.
Yeah. This gets weird. So he remarries... The dad remarries to a girl named Lizzie. Them two have 3 kids. Hubert, Doris, and Francis. Take note, Francis Dillinger died in 2015. Right.
What?
So, like, 4 years ago, we're going to date this episode of the podcast. 4 years ago, John Dillinger's sister? I don't know.
No, Francis... half-sister. Right, because you said his dad remarried.
Yeah.
And
half. Okay, so half.
Yeah.
Half-sister. I was thinking like half-sister
or... God damn, how old was she? Don't know. Don't know when she was born?
I didn't write that part down.
Okay.
But 2015, that's crazy recent.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like, he died young.
Right.
Allegedly.
But he was born in, like, literally 1903-something.
03. Yeah, 03.
So that means that his dad... Even if his dad was, like, let's say really young when he had him, like, 18,
yeah.
Maybe he was still having babies up until he was, like, 50 or 60.
Well,
so remember, I guess his sister could have been born in the 50s or 60s.
Remember, though, that John Jr. was the younger brother.
30s or 40s.
Yeah. Yes, but John Dillinger was the younger, so he had a
brother. That bitch lived to be close to 100.
Yeah. No, that, it's crazy.
Yeah. Anyways.
This is, I said it got weird, it's gonna get weirder. So, John Dillinger Jr. disliked his stepmom at first, but then he dated her for 3 years.
What? How does that work?
Now, here's the thing, though. I saw that.
While she was still with his dad? Or?
I don't know, because they dropped that mic and there's nothing else about it.
God damn.
But he dated her for 3 years.
That's a long time to date your, like, I'm
your
sorry.
Your stepmom, ex-stepmom, either way, that's weird.
The idea of, like, somebody banging, like, 2 generations.
Well, yeah, but no, it's clear that that happened because he has 3 half-siblings. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That is weird.
Once again, maybe I read it wrong, but no, it clearly stated from what I researched that he hated his stepmom. However, that didn't last because he entered a relationship with her for 3 years.
Ew.
Yeah, so skeevy. Let's go to his teenage years, which I hope that happened at least in his teenage
years. I know, I was about to say, like, when the fuck did he date her?
But teenage John, or maybe this was like one of those, daddy takes daughter on a mini date. Like, no, that's not what happens.
No,
this is...
No, like 3 years of dating.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, so teenage John Dillinger Jr., he was noted as being a bully. He got in trouble for fighting, and he did a lot of petty theft, you know, in his youngster...
Stealing shit from a young age.
Now, here's the... So, I should note, he was born in Indianapolis, Indiana.
Yeah, said that.
I did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that's a big city. I don't know much about Indiana, but that's a big city. And okay. His dad said that it ruined his son. You know, being in a big city, oh, the city corrupted him. Let's go back to rural life. Rural life. Rural.
Okay.
So they moved to Mooresville, which apparently is rural, in 1921. So, I mean, that's a big jump from 1903 to 1921. So he's upper teens. I would say that move didn't help, because in 1922... He was charged with auto theft.
Okay.
And that's when he started having what I like to say, daddy issues. His relationship with his dad just kind of faltered from there. So shortly after this, in 1922, he joined the Navy.
Okay.
As an alternative to, you know.
Jail.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was a petty officer in the third class machinery. He was a petty officer third class machinery repairman.
Okay.
Say that 5 times fast. Don't do it.
I won't.
He was actually on the battleship USS Utah.
Okay.
So I just think it's cool. Like, you know where he was. But, of course, he got a dishonorable discharge because he deserted a few months into his tour, commission, whatever.
That didn't last long.
Yeah, no, only a few months. And he basically was like, I see Boston. I'm out. Because when they ported in Boston, he deserted. Which I thought was weird. He returned back to his hometown of Mooresville. Or not hometown, but the second place he was. Hmm. So he went back to Mooresville, Indiana. I figured he saw Boston and was like, let me stay in Boston.
Yeah.
But no, he went right back home. And that is where he met his first wife, Beryl Hovius. And they got married on April 12th, 1924. And he tried to settle down. Tried. He tried.
Air quotes.
I just did a triple underline.
Ah.
Because he just couldn't hold down a job. Like, he tried being a repairman, a clerk. It just didn't work out. So he did his first robbery. Ooh. Like, actual, not like petty theft, like robbery.
Like rob a bank robbery?
No.
What did he rob?
This is hilarious to me. The big bad Jackrabbit John Dillinger. Apparently, I thought he was just Dillinger. Anyway, his first big time robbery with his buddy Ed Singleton was a grocery store. For $50.
Ooh, that had to be disappointing.
I didn't do the inflation rate for this one, but the next figure I have, based on those figures, I would say that's probably around $200.
Yeah, that's like nothing.
It's not much.
Yeah.
I mean, $50 is more than $50 today.
Clearly.
And he was arrested the next day.
Because
somebody was like, I know that guy. And I know that guy. And those two guys did that thing. So, the next day, Singleton said, I'm not guilty. Now, I found out, after what I read about the spare the rod, spoil the child, John Dillinger's dad was a deacon at the local church.
Oh.
So, Deacon Dillinger, that's what we're going to call him from now on.
Yeah, I like that.
DD, convinced John to plead guilty without a defense attorney. I know, right?
No!
Yep.
Always get an attorney.
He was convinced by one of the arresting officers
that
he would get a lighter sentence if that's what he did.
No, it's never true. They lie to you.
Do you want to know what his sentence was?
Like 10 years or something awful?
10 to 20 years in prison.
For robbing a fucking grocery store.
With another person for $50. The reason being it was this long was because he struck a victim on the head with... I don't really know, like, I can't picture this, but he said he struck a victim over the head with a machine bolt wrapped in cloth.
I don't know.
And he carried a gun.
Okay.
So
like assault with a deadly weapon?
Basically. Because okay. I'm thinking machine bolt lights like a nut in a bolt like that big.
I have no idea what that would be.
I got a goosebump.
Probably not. I'm sure it's something much bigger.
No, but that's just what I'm thinking, so haha.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's why he got 10 to 20 years in prison.
Always get a lawyer, kids.
Always.
And don't talk to the police. They are not your friend. They will promise you the fucking sun and the moon for confessing, and you won't get any of it because they can lie to you. Legally, they can lie to you. They lie to you. The police lie all the time. There's my side tangent. Sorry.
Blue lives matter.
I mean, yes.
I had to play both sides. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, though.
Like, if you're accused, an alleged criminal, get a freaking attorney and don't talk to the police.
Okay.
You got one word for them, lawyer.
You good?
Lawyer, lawyer, lawyer.
You good?
Is there more wine?
There's more wine.
Okay. I'm good.
Do you want me to go get
the wine? No, I'm going to get the wine. You keep talking.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Can you get me some more wine, too?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. So, as you could imagine, with Singleton pleading not guilty, Dillinger was asked to testify against him. So that happened, and en route, John Dillinger escapes.
Okay.
For a few minutes.
Oh.
Before he is found.
Damn. Now there's not a lot of wine left.
That's fine. So, that's a nice sound. Some ASMR for the podcast.
If they can even hear it. We need mics.
Wait, splash.
That is not pleasant to listen to.
Relax. Be relaxed! Anyway, Singleton had a change of venue. I don't really know why I wrote that down, but he did. Guess how long his sentence was?
I don't know.
Did you read?
No.
Okay. Take a guess.
2 days.
No, 2 to 14 years, which is still ridiculous because the other 50% of the crime for $50 had 10 to 20 years.
Yeah.
And this guy got 2. To 14, but 2. Blah, blah, blah. It is also noted, we don't hear much from Singleton about his, new criminal life. This is not part of the terror gang. He was killed August 31st, 1937. Guess how?
Shot.
By a train.
Oh.
He passed out drunk midnight on a railroad.
That's fun.
Yep. And just went,
your sound effects.
It was great, right?
They're awful.
It's spot on.
I'm just...
You know, we actually bought a soundboard. That wasn't me.
That's a lie. Anyways, keep going.
ASMR. So, we're going to talk about his prison years, shall we?
I guess we shall.
From 1924 to 1933.
He was in prison for that long?
9.5 years.
Wow.
Yeah, for a stretch.
That sucks.
So, he was not having this prison life. His quote when he got into prison was, "I will be the meanest bastard you ever saw when I get out of here."
Loyal?
Meant it. He also had gonorrhea.
Oh.
He had it before he got in there.
Okay.
But the treatment was, very painful. I don't know why that was in there, but it is.
Antibiotics. I'm pretty sure he just takes some antibiotics.
Well, they call it the clap for a reason.
No.
You don't know that?
No.
Because the penis swells up with pus.
Ew.
And, no, this is real. Because I learned about this. Well,
wait, is the clap gonorrhea, or is that not chlamydia?
Some people also say chlamydia, but...
But chlamydia and gonorrhea are two different things.
I know. But the reason why... I was told that gonorrhea was called the clap was because back in, the war times when penicillin was we need to treat other stuff with this, not just sex nut soldiers who can't keep it in their pants for 5 minutes. That is when your pee-pee fills up with pus due to the gonorrhea, and they would hold the limbs of the soldier and go, quack! and clap
all the pus out?
Yeah.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Now, if that's not right, my sex ed teacher in fifth grade did me wrong.
I'm but sure that's what that I was told. He did, considering what schools you went to. Well, but
we won't need to talk about that.
We'll figure that out.
I've seen both ways where the clap is chlamydia or gonorrhea. We can keep some of this in or not any of it.
I honestly have no idea, so.
I don't care.
Listeners, send us an email.
Write in. Have you had gonorrhea?
At legendsandliquor@gmail.com. Let us know your experiences.
With gonorrhea.
We're dying to find out.
Okay. Well, anyway, whether you keep any of that history lesson in or not, he had gonorrhea at one point and the treatment was not fun.
Okay.
But this is where he met most of his first gang. We got Harry Pete Pierpont. Why is his name Pete? His name's Harry. It's not Pete. Moving on.
Okay.
Charles Mackley, Russell Clark, Homer Van Meter.
Okay.
Those are who he met. Most of them were in his gang. Actually, all of them were in his gang, but there's a couple more that I'm going to add later.
Okay.
He studied the Herman Lamb's bank robbing system.
There was a bank robbing system?
There's a system, and it sounds really stupid, but we're going to get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
I swear, we're going to get back into it, because I was like, what the fuck is that? I'm not reading a textbook about the Herman Lamb's bank robbing system, because it's probably not relevant now. And no, I don't need to know what the system is. But that's what he used to rob his 24 banks.
Okay.
He got it.
Clearly it did.
Methodically down. Now here's what got me. His dad, I told you they had a falling out after his, like, right before he joined the Navy.
Yeah.
His dad actually got 188 signatures to get his sentence reduced, because he immediately regretted advising his son to not get an attorney.
Yeah,
because he was told he was going to get a reduced sentence, and it didn't happen, and he immediately was like, oh shit.
Yep.
Well, he said, probably, oh shoot, he was a deacon. He didn't swear. But he beat his kids! Sorry.
Bad idea.
Now, it's unclear if these 188 signatures really helped or not, but he did get out in 9.5 years. So he didn't do the minimum 10. But,
yeah.
You know. It was probably like, okay, we'll take your paper.
They
we'll
calculate time weird in prison. I mean, like, when you can, you're eligible for parole, and, like, it's like 85% of your sentence served, or blah, 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 blah. I don't know. It's weird. It varies state by state. I'm just guessing. Keep going.
At this time, his stepmom, Lizzie, had been really sick.
The one that he... A bang, 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 bang.
Allegedly had a 3-year affair with.
Crazy.
Like I said, allegedly, okay.
But she was really sick.
Yeah, really sick, and died before he got home. So that's kind of sad. You know, creepy but sad.
Yeah.
I felt sad. And 1933, if you didn't know this was the height of the Great Depression.
Yeah.
I just want to take note of that for
so people. He comes home, everybody's depressed.
So in 1933, June 21st, this is what you've been waiting for.
Yes.
First bank robbery.
Woo!
Where he robs $10,000.
That's a lot better than 50.
$195,540 in today, in the year of our Lord, 2019, currency.
That's pretty okay.
It's not the greatest. I actually thought it was going to be more. I thought it was going to be in the mills, yeah, but
no,
it's not.
No.
And August 14th, same year, Bluffton, Ohio. He got caught.
That sucks.
He got captured, and he had an escape plan, which he wrote down, which is a problem because the guards found it. But he kept quiet.
Yeah,
he
it seems never, like, don't.
He never said what it was. Like, it could have just been scribble scrabble that he interpreted as his escape plan, and, like, after the fact, they were like, oh, he used that to escape. I don't know. But they asked him about it a ton of times, and he was like, I don't know what that is. Which I guess was smart. I plead the fifth. He escaped with his friends above, so the Harry Pete Pierpont, Charles Mackley, Russell Clark,
blah, blah, Homer blah, Van blah. Meter.
Yeah.
People were, who aren't John Dillinger, but are his friends.
And they were in jail with him again in Ohio. 4 days after the capture.
They escaped?
Yep.
That was pretty quick.
Yeah. Want to know how they did it?
Sure.
So his friends, Pierpont, so Pierpont actually didn't escape with him. Pierpont and Clark didn't, because they were part of the escape plan. Pierpont and Clark and another person, Hamilton, they impersonated Indiana police to extradite him.
Oh, that's cool.
Right?
Yeah.
That's in the movie.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it worked. He escaped.
Clearly.
Yeah. So between 1933 and 1934, 12 bank robberies happened. 1933, he also met Evelyn Frechette. This is what got me. In the movie, he had this, the main love interest was named Billy. That's who this is. Evelyn's nickname was Billy. See?
Yeah.
It makes no fucking sense, but nah. Yeah. Yeah, so that was his common law marriage, and that's because, like, this was the height of the hunt.
Had he already, like, divorced his other wife?
I didn't see when it happened, but it did.
Okay.
It probably happened when he was in jail, like, that motherfucker she got locked like, up.
I'm done.
Which, good for her.
Yeah, really.
But, yeah. So, yeah. This was, like, sort of the Bonnie and Clyde thing.
Gotcha.
She was never really involved with the murders. She actually did get locked up at one point for being an accomplice. But she was never... Well, I say murder. I mean bank robberies. She never helped out. She was very much like a kept woman.
Gotcha.
Like, he spoiled the hell out of her. And like I said, he courted publicly. So it would be like very much fur coats, nice dresses, fancy jewelry. Let me take Billy out to the club. Because I'm John Dillinger, the Jackrabbit. Okay.
A bang bang bang.
She was always very much like, are you sure you need to get out of this life? I don't want to pick you up in a body bag. Like, she was very much against this way of living, but he was like, no, that's fine. I'm too good to get caught.
Okay. Which
obviously is not true because he's already been caught a few times.
Yeah.
But I mean, he is pretty smart. Like, he got out in 4 days after his second capture. After he'd been in jail for over 9.5 years.
Whatever.
And robbed two banks the same year he got out.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Just to note before I forget, after John Dillinger's death, Billy was offered some money for telling a story. Like, what happened? What do you know? Like, you're not in trouble. You didn't do this, but what do you know?
Right.
And there were some memoirs and stuff written about him, and she got some money for it. So good on Billy, I guess. January 25th, 1934, he was caught in Tucson, Arizona.
Okay.
And was escorted back to Indiana. And March 3rd, So before March 3rd. In between January 25th and March 3rd, the guards in Indiana were like, this guy got away a few times. We're going to get double, triple, quadruple guards. But I say March 3rd because he escaped again. And what happened? It's not clear. What is clear is that there was a quote-unquote gun, which he used to keep one of the guards hostage. The guard who he kept hostage said, it's a real fucking gun. It happened. It's real. Everybody else is like, that was a piece of wood that he carved and he wrapped in a piece of cloth and held against him. That's in the movie too, where he carved a fake gun and held it and got away that way.
Wow.
But also, like, after the fact, there was, I believe his attorney admitted to smuggling a real gun in. Now, whether he used that or a fake one, I don't know. I'd like to think he used just a piece of shelving to be like, stick them up, you know.
Yeah.
Like the classic 1930s, like,
yeah,
bank robber persona. I like it. I like it, but with a piece of wood. I hate you. But yeah, like, really, like, the first thing I saw was, like, what happened with this escape? It's like, it's kind of unclear.
Nobody really knows what happened,
but he got out.
Okay, no.
This is part of what led to his overall demise. This guy... Last name Youngblood. That's all I wrote down. He was an escapee during this March 3rd escape at this prison in India. He was shot dead by officers. But before he died, he was like choking on blood and was like, "Go to Port Huron." Go to Port Huron. I don't know where that is, but that's apparently where John Dillinger was.
Okay.
Yep. So we are approaching the end. During this time, he was indicted by local grand jury and the Bureau of Investigation, which turned into the Federal Bureau
of Investigation. The
FBI! Yeah. They had a nationwide manhunt on him, led by Melvin Purvis, which I said Johnny Depp played John Dillinger, right? Guess who plays Melvin Purvis?
I have no idea.
Christian Bale. Huh. It's a good movie. And Jason Clarke is one of his accomplices. It's a good movie.
Okay.
So during this technically third escape, because he escaped the first time for like a few minutes when he was...
Yeah, that didn't count.
Yeah, so really his second real escape, he fled off with Billy, so kind of the Bonnie and Clyde thing again, and he met up with his new gang, which basically consisted of Babyface Nelson's old gang, which was Homer Van Meter, Tommy Carroll, and Eddie Green.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, which one was that? It was Homer Van Meter who was with... Sorry, I wrote it down. That guy's plan, the Herman Lamb,
mm-hmm.
He was a part of his old gang.
Okay.
So he actually ended up being like with one of his mentor's old gang members, like towards the end.
Okay. Herman Lamb being like the guy who was like, this is how you rob banks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which apparently he knew. And maybe I'll do an episode on Herman Lamb.
Maybe.
I don't know. So 3 days after the escape, he robbed a bank in South Dakota.
Okay. That and place sucks.
1 week
just
later.
Just kidding. We love you, South Dakota.
1 week after that, he robbed a bank in Iowa.
Okay.
So now this leads to his demise.
Alleged
demise. I'm going to tell you what the demise was, and then we will go to why it was alleged.
Okay.
And we'll probably end with that.
Okay.
Sorry, this has been going on for a while.
Yes. Apologize. That's all right.
So, back in Indiana, I believe it was Indiana, we'll go with that, he attended the movie Manhattan Melodrama.
Never heard of it.
Starred Clark Gable.
Never heard of it.
Anyway, he stayed at a brothel.
Hey-o.
Yeah, and which he frequented, actually.
That must have made the missus happy. What else?
Everything was considered. Like I said, alleged rape. I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
What?
But he was escorting two women.
Okay.
And one of them snitched on him.
Mm.
To Melvin Purvis.
Mm.
Maybe not him directly, but like, yeah. The Bureau of Investigation with the manhunt was like, John Dillinger is going to be at this place at this time to see this movie.
Okay.
Melvin Purvis was there. He used the lighting of his cigar to signal when John Dillinger got up and escaped.
Or he was just seeing the movie?
Well, just leaving the movie.
Okay.
Escaped the theater.
Oh, okay.
John Dillinger noticed that something was up. He pulls out a gun. And at the bang bang, shoot him up. One of the women he is with gets injured due to the gunplay. But he dies. And this is July 22nd, 1934. This
allegedly
is the official death of John Dillinger.
Okay.
Here's where it gets alleged. I'm not sure which time, when he was in prison, he was talking with some people about getting plastic surgery.
What?
Yep. So this is, I'm not convinced one way or the other, because we don't really know. What we do know. Well, no, here's the alleged part first. The thought is to throw the BOI off the hunt for John Dillinger.
Yeah.
Was they tricked a lookalike into going to the theater with them, saying he is John Dillinger, and getting shot.
How'd they trick somebody into doing that?
It was a dumb ex-con. Okay. Like, probably an equally piece of shit person. The reason why this is not The reason why people actually think this might be true is because the height and weight of John Dillinger did not match the corpse, and there were scars that were, like, John Dillinger has this scar here, this scar here, this scar here. They weren't on the corpse.
Oh, that's weird.
But, remember, he had plastic surgery. So the height and weight is a little bit more...
Well, I mean, but, even plastic surgery, like, you can't just, like, magically erase scars.
Right. And especially back in 1930s.
Yeah, like, plastic surgery wasn't that great then.
Exactly. So, there may be some actual truth to this, and John Dillinger may have actually gotten away.
Gotten away.
But in the movie Public Enemies and the Wikipedia page...
It's something with saints.
The line with saints.
Prayers of, the prayers of saints? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so it's the Prayers of Saints, a 2017 Chardonnay from Washington State, if my memory serves me.
That sounds right.
The label looks pretty cool. It's like a little saint praying and
whatever. Yeah, that's the title of it.
But it looks cooler than that. I think there's like a heart with a sword or...
Yeah.
Anyways.
It's very colorful.
Yeah, it is. I saw it and I was like, ooh, I want to review that for the podcast. So I bought it, and we're drinking it. And it's actually really good.
What was it, like $10?
It was like $10. And I think for $10, it's really good.
Yeah, it's not bad at all.
Like, I'm super pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I give it a pretty damn good out of 10.
Yeah, for sure. I'm drinking it. I will keep drinking it. I would buy more.
Yeah, should have bought more.
I didn't know if it was going to be good or not. That's the first time we've ever had it.
I mean, that's true.
Yeah. But, we will probably buy more.
You got any notes on it?
Nah, I mean, it was like in the new wine rack section. And I went in and the ladies were like, you haven't been in here in a while, have you? And I was like, no.
Not this one.
Yeah, I know. I didn't want to be like, because I've been going to other liquor stores. I've been cheating on you and I've been caught. No. Yeah. But it was really funny because she was like, are you a teacher? And I was like, no. It's like, I'm an attorney. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, apologize for mistaking me for a teacher.
Why a teacher, though?
I don't know. Well, and it was funny because then she was like, you know, I just knew it was one of those jobs that you have to dress up for. I guess because I normally go in there after work and like, I've gone in with a suit on a lot.
Okay.
I know. So
I'll walk in there and probably be like, do you work as a janitor? And I would be like, I did, but not anymore.
Yeah, no.
Because I go in there dressed as everything.
Well, me too, honestly. Like, I've gone in there looking like a freaking bum who just rolled out of bed and gone in a suit after going to court. So, I don't know. But I thought that was really funny, and she was laughing.
I just don't get how teacher was the go-to. That's fine.
I guess maybe I just have one of those teacher faces.
I guess.
I don't know. I thought it was funny, though.
No, it is funny. So anyway. I'm just confused.
That's what happened at the liquor store.
Okay.
Yep. That's not actually notes on the wine, which is what you're asking me for, but...
Yeah.
Funny story about getting the wine.
So that's what the wine tastes like.
It's good.
It tastes like Mandy being mistaken for a teacher. She's actually an attorney. And then I said some stuff that wasn't really funny. That's what the wine tastes like.
Exactly. Actually, so I would say kind of buttery.
Yeah, it's pretty buttery.
Because that's, like, our favorite type of Chardonnay.
It's not super buttery.
Not super buttery. It's got, like, it's mellow.
No, it's good.
And it's got kind of a rounded out flavor. Like, it's got a little bit of all the flavors in it, but it's good. It's not, like, too bitter or sharper, whatever. I don't know. It's just mellow and it's good.
It's good.
Yeah, I like it.
Buy some. Drink it with us.
Why don't you sponsor us? Probably. Prayers of Saints.
You forgot the name of the damn bottle for like 5 minutes.
Hey, it's the first time I've ever gotten it. Okay, whatever.
We'll buy a whole bunch more.
Send us a case. We'll drink it and review it every single podcast if you send us a case.
That's all.
Prayers of Saints.
Oh, okay.
I'll take it. I would take that deal.
Well, I would too. I don't know if they would.
Probably not. They're like, oh yeah, so that all one person who's listened to your podcast... we'll maybe like hear that part of it and buy the wine.
Shout out to our one listener.
Yeah, whoever our one listener is, we appreciate you so fucking much.
Tell that motherfucker I appreciate him.
Tom Segura.
I would honestly, I think
our one listener gets all our references. Because if they're listening to this podcast, they're probably as dorky as we are.
Probably.
Okay, moving on.
All right.
So, John Dillinger, my story. What do you know, if anything, about this name?
Like, the name sounds familiar, but only from the point of view that Dillinger sounds maybe like a musician. And that's all I got, literally.
Well, you're close. If you had to take a stab.
Or is he a murderer? Does he do the murders?
That is secondary.
Is he a rapist?
That's questionable.
Okay.
Like, that's not why I'm talking about him.
Well, a lot of times, like, you said murder secondary, so...
Yeah, no.
Secondary to the rape, but...
This is going to throw you through a loop. Because it's not what you're thinking I'm going to be talking about. Because you're probably thinking about rape and murder, right?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, so wait... Try a third guess.
Nope, but you just tell me.
He is a bank robber.
Oh.
From the Great Depression.
Oh.
For those of you who are interested, there's a really good movie starring Johnny Depp called Public Enemies.
Mm.
The story of John Dillinger.
I did not know that. I've never seen that movie, but I've heard of it.
Okay, we need to watch it because it's really good and it's really accurate.
Awesome.
Like, really accurate. I mean, obviously there's some gray areas, but it's really accurate.
Okay.
And fun fact, the reason why it's called Public Enemies is John Dillinger was the first Public Enemy number one.
Ha!
Yep. That's so amazing. Let me get into some just overall facts, and then I'll kind of...
Did he hang out with Bonnie and Clyde?
It's around the same time.
That's what I'm asking.
It's a different group.
Gotcha.
He was more with, like, the Babyface Nelson gang.
Ah.
Which comes into play.
Are they in the north? Where is he hanging out and robbing people?
He kind of goes...
All over. Gotcha.
But he keeps coming back to Indiana. That's where he's from. He's born and raised.
Woo!
I guess.
I don't really know Shout anything about Indiana. Hey, Indiana. Listen to our podcast.
You probably know about the story, so I hope I'm not fucking it up.
Well, I don't know, so I won't be able to call you out on it if you do.
Well, we need to watch the movie.
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a good movie.
It's a really good movie. It's one of my favorites.
I just don't normally watch, like, crime movies, which is surprising given our podcast, but...
Well, get into it.
Yeah, we need to get into it. I need to get into it.
Let me do the stories, and then we'll watch the movies.
Okay.
How about that?
Sounds
That's fair?
That's fair.
Okay. So, couple nicknames this guy has is the Jackrabbit. Okay.
That's menacing.
And Gentleman Jack.
Also not menacing.
Here's the thing about those two nicknames. I know that they're nicknames because it said nicknames. The Jackrabbit. Gentleman Jack.
What kind of nickname is the Jackrabbit? Like, honestly, that just makes me think of somebody who's really bad at sex. Like, you're just like, squirt.
He might be.
I don't know, but I'm like, where does that come from? And is that not what pops into your head right away? I don't know. Maybe that's just me. I'm like, I'm sorry. The Jackrabbit does not strike fear or terror into my heart.
I think it's because he's elusive.
Okay.
That's what, like, to give this dude some more credit. He's a piece of shit.
Hard to catch.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay.
He died.
He died.
But yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
That is interesting.
That's kind of all I have. And in pop culture, like I said, the movie Public Enemies. It's a great movie. It's got Jason Clark, Johnny
Christian
Depp,
Bale.
Christian Bale. It's got the dude that, or the chick who plays Billy. She was in that movie.
It's
that movie that was about, I think it was about World War II that Brad Pitt was in, and that was when it was, like, found out he was cheating on Angelina Jolie. It was that movie.
Is that Inglourious Basterds? Or
no, this was, like, way after that.
I have no idea.
I don't know. She was in it. She was important.
Cool.
She's been in other stuff.
Well, that was fun.
Was it fun?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
All right.
Good job.
I thought that would be a nice change. You know, a bit of a breath of fresh air from, like, the rape and the killings.
Change o pace.
You know, because, I mean, bank robbery's not cool either. And he did kill somebody.
Killed, like, one person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, his gang probably killed a whole bunch more people.
If you see the movie, he kills a whole bunch of people too.
Gotcha.
But it's a movie, a dramatization.
Drama.
But that's what I got.
All right. Well, that was fun. So, yeah, just remember that you can always, if you like us, donate to our page on Anchor.
Yep. We'll have links to that on our social media.
Yeah. Definitely. There are links on our social media currently. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The tag is legends_liquor on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. Actually, I think all three of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And I think we're Legends and Liquor Podcast on Facebook, but we have like the @.
Oh, so there's both. Legends
_liquor on both.
Okay, sorry.
And you know, if you've got a particular story or a myth or a legend or anything really that you want us to talk about, or just alcohol that you want us to review.
Or just say hi. Like, what are your hobbies?
Yeah, like just give us a shout out. We'd love to hear from like anybody, really.
Especially our first listener.
Exactly. Hey, you, that one guy. We know you're out there. You've listened to us. Send us an email at legendsandliquor@gmail.com.
All right.
Yeah. And we'll be talking to you guys soon.
See you on the next one.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.